Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Truly we give honor and thanks for the Lord for us being on the broadcast today. We had 2 weeks off. I was only taking one. I ended up taking two. But anyway, praise be to God that we are back on here for our assignment. And we're still talking about commitment. And so we are still talking about commitment. And so I've been praying and asking the Lord what else to do. But anyway, he said keep right on going. So I'm going to keep talking about commitment. We're in Hosea today. We're going to start in Hosea, and we're going to talk about that story. Because it's such a story, such a good story. But anyway, we thank God for all of you that will be logging in, those of you will be calling in, and those that would listen to the broadcast later. Praise the Lord, Elder Hatchett. I think I'm pronouncing it right. I hope I am anyway. And so, but anyway, praise the Lord. We thank God for everybody that calls in, logs in, those that listen to us on Facebook Live. We thank God for each and every one of you, those that will listen later. We're so glad just to be on our position one more time. So we're so thankful for about that. I am just excited about, you know, all the things that God is doing. God is so great and he is wonderful. And I know we're in some times that we're unsure about. But one thing we can be sure about, and that is Jesus Christ. We can be sure our anchor holds and grips the solid rock. And so we thank God for that we're able to do that and that we're able to trust in God for all the things that are going on. There's so many people that are, you know, in the warmer states, it seems like Florida, Arizona, Texas, and California, it seems like the numbers are going up. But we know we serve a God who is able to deliver and set us free. We know that we serve a God that is a healer. Hallelujah. We thank God for that. And so we're just so grateful to all who God is to us. He is everything. He's our peace, our provider. He is our righteousness, and he is all those things to us. And so we're so thankful for about that. So let's start with prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Glory to God. God, we thank you today, God. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace, God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are our God. Lord, you are omnipotent, you are omnipresent, you are omniscient. Hallelujah. We thank you that you are the sovereign God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we thank you. Lord, we're depending on you. We believe in you. Hallelujah, God. We're repenting and turning from our wicked ways, oh, God. We're repenting, oh, God. We ask you to forgive us of sins of omission and sins of commission. We ask you to forgive us of sins, Lord Jesus, known and unknown, seen and unseen. God, we ask your forgiveness. And, Lord, we are turning our face toward you, oh, God. Lord, let the heart of the people be turned toward you, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you to bless the leadership of this country, God. Lord, let their hearts be turned toward you, God, and not of themselves, thinking that that it's them, and it's not them, it's you, God. It's been you all the time. God, hallelujah, you are the one that can set us free. You are the one that can deliver us, oh, God. You are the one that can stay the hand of this plague. Lord, you are the one. Not nobody else. Lord, you're the one that can provide the cure, God. You are the one. Hallelujah. And we lift your name on high. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We lift your name up, God. Because you said, if I be lifted up, you would draw all men unto thee. Lord, draw men unto thee, Lord. Draw souls unto thee, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless us to have a closer walk with thee, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you are a shepherd and our shepherd. We shall not want. We thank you, Lord, that you are our refuge and our strength and our very present help in a time of trouble. God, we thank you that you are light and our salvation. Whom shall we fear? For you are the strength of our life. Whom shall we be afraid? Hallelujah. You said that that thousands will fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand. But God, it will not come nigh our dwelling, oh God. Oh, Lord, with our eyes we will see the wicked, hallelujah, destroyed. But, Lord, it won't come nigh our dwelling, oh, God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are our refuge. We thank you that you are our dwelling place, God. We thank you, Lord, for your arms of protection around about us. We thank you for letting your angels encamp around about us. We thank you, Lord, for keeping us safe through the night, through all day, oh, God. Lord, for those that got to go to work, oh, God, that have to go outside their home to go to work, we ask you to cover them with your blood, oh, God. Lord, stay the hand, oh, God, that the disease will not continue to spread, oh, God. Lord, but that it will be contained, and it will not continue to spread. God, we ask you to bless all of those that are currently infected with the COVID-19, God. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, let your healing virtue flow through their bodies, oh, God. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, those that are those on ventilators, God, Lord, that you're able to heal, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you to bless every nurse, every doctor, every CNA, every attendant, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Every respiratory therapist, oh God, every respiratory doctor, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we ask you to cover them with your blood first, God, in the name of Jesus. Protect them and their families, God. Bless every first responder, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless our police departments all over this land and country, God. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, don't let those that have a good heart, the policemen that have a good heart, be affected by those that still need their hearts changed, God. Lord, change the hearts of your people, God, of these people in this country, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, let America repent, God, in the name of Jesus, for the evil things that they have done. They tried to sweep them up under the rug. They try to ignore them, God. But, Lord, you're calling for repentance today, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord. Oh, God, bless those that have lost loved ones, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Some have been because of the COVID-19. Some have been because of other conditions. But, God, we're asking you, Lord, to comfort as only you can. Send your comfort to God. Oh, God, comfort your people, Lord. Comfort their hearts with peace, oh, God. Comfort their hearts, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to bless those that are bereaved right now, God. Lord, comfort them, God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, when the services are over, comfort them the more, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Oh, God, we send your healing virtue among the people, just like you did with the centurion soldier. Lord, you sent the word, hallelujah, and it healed that very moment. Lord, we send in the word. God, you said that healing is the children's bread. Lord, you said that, Lord, you will heal us, oh, God. Lord, like you did the woman with the issue of blood, she touched the hem of your garment and she was made whole that very moment. God, I know we can't touch your garment, but Lord, we're touching your heart. We're touching your heart with prayer, God. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Oh, God, somebody's in need of financial help, Lord. People have lost their jobs. Hallelujah. Doors are shutting up, God. But you're not a God. You are a provider, God. You are our provider. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for provision today for those that need it. We thank you for food today for those that are hungry. We thank you for shelter today for those that don't have no place to stay. God, we ask you for your mercy, Lord. We're asking you, Lord Jesus, to let the hearts of the people be giving, oh, God. Lord, don't let them be shut up and stingy, Father, in the name of Jesus. But, God, we ask you to bless, hallelujah. Lord, we glorify you and we magnify you. We thank you, Lord, for every organization, every church that has been feeding those over these last 3 or 4 months, God. We thank you for their service, God. We thank you for their service, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Bless every pastor, oh, God, who's worried about the church shutting down. But, God, we're asking you, Lord, to meet every need, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, don't let nobody else lose a job, God. Oh, Lord, we thank you, but let the people have a heart to care for the people more than they got a heart for money, God. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for all of those that have been giving, oh, God, more than abundantly, oh, God. Lord, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. We rebuke every judgmental spirit right now in the name of Jesus. God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, for favor, God. Bless every leader, every pastor, every apostle, every teacher, every evangelist, oh, God, and every prophet. Oh, God, we ask you to bless, Lord, as only you can. Every elder, every minister, every deacon, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, bless the leadership of our churches, oh, God. How not a level cover them with your blood, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for each one poured out today, oh, God. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to touch them and refill them, recharge them, God, in the name of Jesus. Bless families all over this land and country. Lord, touch, Father, in the name of Jesus. Bless, Lord Jesus, oh, God, I thank you. Bless the Montgomery family in the loss of their brother, Father. Comfort them as only you can. Lord, continue to bless the Hampton family in the loss of their mother, God, back in the early last year. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, bless all of those, oh, God. Touch Carla Shotwell's body, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your healing virtue flow through your people, Father. Bless his word, oh God, as it comes forth today, hallelujah, that it will fall on good ground. Bless those to be saved, set free, and delivered all over this land and country. Lord, let people begin to turn and come to Christ. All of those that have been participating in Black Lives Matter, cover them with your blood, strengthen them, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you for their sacrifice, oh, God. We thank you, Lord, for their boldness, oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Cover them, oh, God. Oh, Lord, we thank you. Oh, God. We thank you for every ministry that has been coming forth, oh, God. We thank you for the birthing of things, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord. We bless and we praise. Oh, God. So many people have lost, God. Restore, God. We thank you, Lord. You said in Joel, Lord, you said you would restore the years that the canker worm, the farmer worm, the locust, and the caterpillar have eaten up, God. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. For restoration, Father, in the name of Jesus. We bless you and we glorify your holy name, God. Bless every person that is at home. They've been in there for months by themselves, God. Comfort their minds as only you can, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We rebuke suicide and we rebuke, hallelujah, all kind of things that people are thinking that enemy is bringing to their minds. We rebuke them in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we rebuke spousal abuse, and we rebuke child abuse, and we rebuke parent abuse, we rebuke grandparent abuse, we rebuke child molestation, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, Lord, every race is all over this country, whatever color they are. God, we ask you to bring the hearts of those people, Lord, to thee, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Turn their hearts, God, oh, God, we glorify you. Bless all of our African-American men and women all over this world, God. Touch them, Father. There won't be no more senseless killings, God. We come against it in the name of Jesus. Oh, glory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you today. Hallelujah. If anybody is under the sound of my voice and sick in their body, touch, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Anybody stand in need of a financial miracle, Lord, send a miracle their way, God. We believe in miracles, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you a miracle of healing, a miracle of finances, a miracle of mental stability. Heal them in their mind and in their emotions, oh, God, and in their bodies, God, in the name of Jesus. In the spiritual healing, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we ask you to bless our pastor, bless my pastor, God. Cover him and his family with your blood, Father, in the name of Jesus. Take care of the Lord. We don't even know the half, God, but Lord, you know. God, we thank you. Bless all of our pastors and their families, our associate pastors and their family, Pastor Winfield and his family, Pastor Brady and Bishop Brady and their family, God, Pastor Torre and Pastor Sarah and their family, and all our other pastors, our associate pastors, pastors that I don't even want to name them so I won't forget nobody. But, Lord, we ask you to bless, Father, in the name of Jesus, our leadership at our church, Father. We thank you. Oh, God, we ask you to touch as only you can, Father. But bless every single person, God. I'm praying for singles right now, Lord Jesus. Lord, some of them been home all for months by themselves, God. Nobody coming in and nobody going out. But, God, just you that's kept us. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We glorify you. We praise your holy name. Hallelujah. Thank you for peace in the home, God. We speak peace in every household right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, let people stop these senseless killings, God, in the name of Jesus. And all the things that have been going on just over the news, God, we ask you, Lord, Jesus. Lord, we don't know what to believe when the people are talking, but we know who to believe in, and that's you. And, Lord, we believe your report. We believe the report of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Bless those, oh, God. We don't know what the reports will be, but, God, we know we believe in you, so, God, we believe you. And we thank you, and we praise you, and we glorify. Thank you for your love, God, Holly, for loving us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank the Lord for all that he is doing. God bless everybody that's joining me here on Facebook. I thank God for each and every one of you. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah. His mercy is wonderful. We thank God for being so merciful. We thank the Lord. I can't hardly see because these glasses. I done broke my glasses. Praise the Lord, cousin. That's my cousin, Jessica. She bless her family, cover her family, and comfort them in the loss of her brother. Yes, I've been praying. But, Lord, we thank you for just blessing that family, her family as well. We thank you, Lord. Jesus, I got to put these other glasses. I broke these glasses, thanks. I don't know what I was doing, but anyway, I got one arm on, so I got to get them fixed tomorrow. Because I still can't see the ones I had on while ago. They're not reading glasses. They just regular. But anyway, we thank God. So we're talking about commitment. We're still talking about commitment. And we're in the book of Hosea. So I'm going to read the verse of chapter in Hosea. Because Hosea is a different book. But what it is God. Don't laugh at this right here. Jesus help us. But anyway, it's really giving a depiction of God's love for his people. And then it's given Hosea. Hosea's name means salvation. And so God asked, gave him a request. And he gave him a request. And, of course, Hosea did just what God asked him to do. He didn't murmur. He didn't complain. God asked him, and he willingly submitted to the will of the Lord. And so in that particular book, and I'm going to read the first chapter. I've read through the whole book. Well, my computer's doing all kinds of things on the ground. I've got all this text for today. Anyway, I'm going to read out this Bible because here it is. Okay, so this is in the Amplified Version, and this is the whole thing. And I think I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's only, it's only 11 verses, so we're going to read it, the whole chapter, so we can get an understanding of this particular chapter and what God is trying to do. It says, the word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, and son of Joash, king of Israel. When the Lord first spoke with and through Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go, take to yourself a wife of harlotry, and have children of her harlotry. For the land commits great whoredom by departing from the Lord." So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she became pregnant and bore him a son. I think that's not what I think I remember. But anyway, and the Lord said to him, "Call his name Jezreel, or God's soul. For yet a little while I will avenge the blood of Jezreel and visit the punishment for it upon the house of Jehu. And I will put an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. And I'm on verse 5. And on that day I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And Gomer conceived." Gomer is Hosea's wife. It's who he married. She's a harlot. "And Gomer conceived again and bore a daughter. And the Lord said to Hosea, call her name Lo-Ruhamah, or not pity. Not pity. For I will no more have love, pity, and mercy on the house of Israel, that I should in any way pardon them." Verse 7. "But I will have love, pity, and mercy of the house of Judah, and will deliver them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by equipment of war, nor by horses, nor by horsemen." He was going to do it. God was going to do it. He was going to save them. He was going to save Judah. "Now when Gomer had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, not pity, she became pregnant again and bore a son. And the Lord said, call his name Lo-Ami, not my people. For you are not my people, and I am not your God." Now, I'm telling you that's something for God to say there, because God is so merciful. He told Hosea to do this because he was trying to show Israel what they were doing. He was trying to show them that. He used this as an example to show the people of God that here you are, you know, I'm trying to love you. I'm in your corner. I support you. I will fight for you. I love you with an everlasting love. All I'm asking you to do is commit to me. All I'm saying is commit to me. And you know the wonderful thing about God, and I'm going to finish, let me finish this for and before I can talk, because then I'll be gone. Now, when Gomer had weaned Lo Ruhama, not Titty, she became pregnant again and bore a son. And the Lord said, call his name Lo Ammi. That's what it is, A-M-M-I. Not my people, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which is promised to Abraham, which cannot be measured or numbered. And instead of being said to them, you are not my people, it shall be said to them, sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head. And they shall go up out of the land. For great shall be the day of Jezreel, for the spiritually reborn Israel of divine offspring and the people whom the Lord has blessed. So anyway, so what was going on here is that, of course, God was showing them their actions. One minute they was with God, one minute they was back over here with the idols. One minute they was with God, one minute they was back over here with the idols. And so even in today's society, you know, of course, they were worshiping idol gods, they were worshiping wood gods, they were worshiping, you know, different things. Well, what have we been worshiping today? What other things have we taken on? So we've taken on some things, the things in society. Let me read this. It says, the result of Israel's theological economic unfaithfulness was the rupture of the covenant bond between the people and God. The matter was not that God was punishing Israel, but rather that Israel had abandoned God. God ain't went nowhere. God is still God. God is still on the throne. God is still whoever he has promised to be in your life. It is sometimes that we have abandoned God. We have went on our own way because we think that, you know, the things that we're doing, the status that we have, that we're doing it, and we're not doing any of it. The Bible says that he gave gifts unto men. So if you're gifted, God gave you the gift. It wasn't nothing that you came up with on your own. God gave you that gift. That's why he said we all got different gifts. Some people can sing. Some people can do this. Some people can do this. Some people can do this. But whatever it is, God is the one that has given you the gift. He said, your gift will bring you before great men. That's what he said. And so, but the thing about it is, even though your gift could bring you before, your gift can bring you before great men, God is still the one that gave you the gift. It wasn't that you that came, that you just so wonderful that it's your gift. And because, so you can sing all day long, but if there ain't no anointing there, we just all sitting there looking anyway. So that's what I'm saying. So we got to understand that whatever it is that we have, God is the one that's given it to us. And so in this particular thing, they kept coming back. Let me keep reading this because I thought this was good and important. So let me read it. It says, the reality of the broken covenant is captured in the names of Gomer and Hosea's children. So the name Jezreel, although pleasant sounding enough, he sold, virtually drips blood. And then it says, not only was the sight of Jehu purged, and see 2 Kings 9 and 10, we're not going to go there, which is alluded to in verse 4, and which involved the death of both kings of Israel and Judah, but it was also the site of Naboth's vineyard, and Naboth was killed as a result of King Ahab's excessive desire for more land. His excessive desire for more. And so that's the reason why that man was killed. To be sure, Jehu had the support of prophet Elisha, but apparently the prophet Hosea had seen enough of the violent consequences by royal oppression. It sounds so much like today. I'm just saying. He announced that the divine sanction had been withdrawn. So then I highlighted this. Let me go down here to what I highlight. It says this material material against God and had lost their authority among the nations. Greatness in the past is no guarantee that you're going to have greatness in the future. So you might have been great before the pandemic, but that doesn't mean you're going to be great at it. That's not what that means. God is calling for us to repent. God is calling for us to recommit ourselves with the Lord. And I know people get tired of seeing like it's always, you know, seems like it's not good news, but it is good news. If we can ever get ourselves back into the right place with God in every area, in every area. And we can do our best. God has done so much for us. He sent Jesus down on the cross for our sins. So he's already redeemed us back to him. And then he sent the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, comfort us. He sent the Holy Spirit to teach us all things. So we have that. I mean, we have everything we need. All we got to do is decide, you know what, I'm going to stay with Jesus. Now, does that mean you're going to dot every I, cross every T every day? No, that's not what that means. That's why we always have to stay in a place of repentance, because we need to do every day. Say, Lord, forgive me of sins of omission and sins of commission. We need to be doing that. Forgive me of sins unseen and unseen, known and unknown. Those are things we need to have in our prayer every day anyway. That's why when he said, when he told the disciples, said, teach us how to pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So that was something he taught even in that prayer, that we need to ask for forgiveness. So that's something we got to constantly do. And of course, we've given our life to the Lord. We gave our life to the Lord. We confessed our sins, and we did all that. And he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. But the Bible tells over in, I think it's 1 John, he said, if a man say he doesn't sin, he lying, deceive himself. That's what the word says. That's Bible. And so we got to understand that we're always in a constant place of staying in a good place with God. I got to pull this over so these glasses stay on. But anyway, so this is what God was saying to them. You know, they kept going, and you know, when they were getting ready to go to the promised land, he had them to recommit themselves then. And, of course, when Joshua and Caleb and that group died, they went back to doing whatever they wanted to do. And then here we came into the book of Judges, where they was doing whatever was right in their own eyes. God would raise up a judge. They would be delivered, and then they would go right back to doing what they were doing. And so that's why God didn't really want them to intermingle. And if we think about, I think it was Nehemiah, when it was both of them, really. So anyway, when they got ready when the captives, the remnant of Judah, was released by Cyprus, you know, them to go back and to rebuild the temple, God told them to recommit themselves. But first, I think it was Nehemiah. Nehemiah had to get them to repent for marrying, intermingling with the people in the land, because in that intermingling they went back to whoring after other gods. So God just wants us to stay consistent with him. He is our God. When we need help, he is our God. When we need anything, he is our God. When we want him to heal us, he's our God. We don't go to whoring after somebody else. We go to God in prayer. And so we need to stay consistent with going to God in prayer. That's just knowing that who God is in our lives. And so that's what he did. But let me say, go down here, something I saw that I really thought was good. No, it is good to remember what God has done for you and through you, but it is equally important to keep your relationship with him vital and up to date. Commit yourself to God moment by moment. That's what I read. So it's something we have to consistently do, just like we have to consistently ask God for forgiveness for every day, because we're not dotting every I, crossing every T every day, but our heart is right. Hopefully our heart is right. I pray all the time, Lord, let my heart be right. Because if our heart, like David said in the 51st Psalm, he said, Lord, create in me a clean heart, renewing me a right spirit. So we got to always come to God with that so that we can stay in the right place with God. It is our daily thing. Paul said it best. He said, I die daily. That means he was giving up sin daily. And so we know that Jesus died for our sins. But we have to keep ourselves in the right place with God. I'm so sorry for doing that. I wasn't thinking. But anyway, so we have to keep ourselves in that place. Does anybody else on the line have anything they want to say? Because I was talking to Ella Timberlake this morning, like she was saying. She said, in order for us to recommit ourselves, we got to be humble. Bishop preached that this morning. He said we can come boldly to the throne of grace, but we got to be humble. We can't come arrogant. It's not an arrogant situation. When God tells us to come bold, he's not telling us to be arrogant. He's telling us to be humble bold. I say that all the time. We got to be humble, but come to him boldly. And Jesus has given us access that we can go. The veil of the temple was rent. So we no longer need the priest to go in on our behalf. We can go in on our own behalf. We can come to God on our own. So that God, Jesus gave us that that gift to be able to do that. And so we got to think where we are. But what God was trying to say during the time of Hosea was, is that here he was married to this harlot, because Israel, and today we are the bridegroom. I mean, we're the bride. We're not the bridegroom. Jesus is the bridegroom. We're the bride. And he said, I'm coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. That's what he's coming back for. Are we at that place? Are we striving to be at a place to be the bride that Christ is coming back for? Are we constantly doing it? Are we ever recommitting ourselves to God? Then, Lord, moment by moment, I want my heart to be right with you. God already knew that we weren't going to dot every I and cross every T. That's why he sent Jesus. But that does not give us an occasion to sin. He said, shall sin abound, shall grace abound, that we can continue in sin? No. He said, God forbid. We cannot continue in sin. It is our daily striving to do what is right. That is what he's saying. But we sure don't want to be like Gomer. We don't want to keep going back and forth. And it said now, he said, when abundant possessions made Israel feel self-sufficient, it turned its back on God and forgot him. Self-sufficiency is as destructive today as it was in Hosea's time. Do we see our constant need of God's presence and help, or are we learning? Do we learn to rely on God in both good times and bad? Or are we thinking that we're the ones doing it? So you know, Israel kept going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and it had already been prophesied to the northern kingdom, because you know they were split by this time. You had the northern kingdom, you had the southern kingdom. The southern kingdom was Judah, and I think Benjamin, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, the rest of the tribes were in Israel, and they had an evil king from the first time when they separated after the death of Solomon. It went to Rehoboam, and because Rehoboam kept the taxes high, the people went with Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And of course, Israel never had a good king. They had never had a good king. And so it was just one thing after another, after another, after another. And so, but what God is saying for us today is to recommit ourselves back to him. When the remnant left and Cyrus the king let them leave, they went back and they rededicated the temple. They rebuilt the temple and then they rededicated themselves. And of course, we know that our temple is the body of the Holy Spirit. We are the ones. Our temple is the body of the Holy Spirit. So we got to know that, and so we got to continue to rededicate ourselves to God and recommit ourselves to God. And then we can have that blessing that's in Joel, where he said he would restore the years, or that the cankerworm, the palmer worm, the locust, and all that is eaten up. He wasn't just dealing it out. He was giving it to them because they had gotten to a place. Does anybody else have anything they want to say?
Elder Bryson.
Yes.
I was just thinking when you was talking about us today, the people of God, and comparing us to Gomer, because, I mean, the fact that Hosea, God instructed him, go get her again, even though she was guilty. Mm-hmm. She didn't deserve his love. She didn't deserve restoration, which is so comparison to us today. We're guilty, and we do not deserve God's love. But in spite of all that, she kept going back to a lifestyle that didn't bring her productivity. It didn't bring her happiness. There was no joy. They want to put on a block to sell her. And we want all that when God is saying, come over here on my side where the feast of the Lord is going on. But we're choosing to be, for some reason, we look out and look like it's something better on the other side than what God's laws are and his rules and his statutes. We tend to find ourselves wandering back to the other side, going back to a lifestyle, to a way of living that he's delivered us from or he's brought us out of. And sometimes we seem to look backwards and think, well, maybe it was a little bit better on that side, or because God has now blessed me, I can go back and deal with this now because now I have more than I used to have, or I think I'm better, I've grown. But many a times that's a trick of the enemy to get you pulled back, because once you get back out there, they'll do you just like the enemy will get you set up just like Gomer was. They want to sell you, put you on a block, treat you like you're a slave, you're not worth anything. And so if rather than you stand in the kingdom, well, you're a king's kid, well, you have royalty, and our flesh needs to be subjected. When you say committed, we need to submit our flesh. It's like Gomer should have been more committed to her husband and to the commitment, the vows or the covenant of a marital relationship. but she was choosing another lifestyle. She couldn't deal with a man that really loved her. And many a times we're having issues dealing with a God that really loves us because we want him to do it a certain way, and it's God that's going to love us his way. And he teaches us how to love because we don't really know how to love outside of God. We get caught up with a lot of emotions and a lot of sensations. But when we want some real love, we need God to help us to even learn how to love ourselves. Gomer had a problem. Gomer didn't love Gomer. So she was looking for love in all the wrong places. So her commitment was to the wrong place, to the wrong things. And if we'll take the lessons from what the Hosea is teaching us, is to see that there is an entity that truly loves us regardless of us and knows our mistakes and will and still want us back. That ought to make you want to come home to God. That ought to make you ought to want to do a self-inspection. It ought to make you want to, whatever's going on in your life, as you just said, repent. Sin of omission and commission, where we would humble ourselves in there thinking, I've done no wrong. I'm saved and no wrong have I done today. Well, you might have something you maybe you didn't do that's still wrong because you didn't obey what God told you to do. He might have told you to be quiet and you spoke up. Or he might have told you to call somebody. You didn't do it. You got tired. You didn't follow through his plan. And anytime you don't follow through what God is asking you to do, you need to repent. Because they become disobedient, and we need to be honest with ourselves. And as the message today that you referred to that says come boldly to God, when you come boldly, as you said, you can't come arrogant. You need to come naked and unashamed. You need to come with transparency because we're so used to praying and with melodious words and we pray where other people can hear us pray. But when you get to God, you need to come butt naked to God and as transparent as possible because he already knows. He knows if you're faking and shaking, so you need to be real with him because this is one place you can truly be real. You can admit your faults. You can admit your sins, you know, and he's not going to tell anybody. So you need to go ahead and make the record straight so you can build that relationship with God so you can show him the humility that he's due, and then you'll be able to be committed to the relationship. We have a failure even in our daily relationship with human beings to be committed 100% because we have our own personal expectations and our own ideas of the way it should be instead of going by what the Bible is telling us and going by what God has said. But if we humble ourselves and honor his word and realize that we're walking out his story and his story has purpose for us because that's why we're still here. We're not still here, Elder, because we got good jobs or got a good education and we can think well or we can talk well or some people can tell exegete the word well. That's not why we're here. Those are good things that help fulfill the ministry, but that's not why we're here. We got purpose and destiny, and if we don't know what it is, we need to be finding out what it is so we can find ourselves, first of all, on bending knee and being submissive to God and humble ourselves, because it tells you, you have to submit yourself to the Lord first.
Yes.
Otherwise, you're not going to be able to resist the devil.
Mm-mm.
And that's what we've fallen into temptation, as I keep saying to people. I feel like if we look at the world today in the church world, we're falling back into the garden, and the enemy has taken some of the word and twisting it up. And he's doing all this kind of stuff to just say enough of the word to get us off track, get you distracted, to get your loyalties to come from God and start serving somebody else till you get caught up with pride and serving other gods. And believe it or not, sometimes we don't even know it. God to show us ourselves so we can be in a position to be humble, to have the kind of love that Hosea is showing to Gomer because she didn't deserve his love.
No.
But he's like God said to the children of Israel, you messed up and you stunk. Your sin has stunk in my nostrils. But I love you. I made a commitment to Abraham, your father, and I am a God to keep my word. And I'm going to stand with you and cover you. If you just come back unto me and honor my words and keep my commandment, as I have commanded you, anything, the table is yours. It's spread it. And come on over here and eat. Where the feast of the Lord is going on. There's a lot of milk and honey on this side. And we need to stop being distracted and being more committed to God so we can see, so we can really eat the fat of the land, the good of the land that we should be eating, and stop living beneath our privilege.
Yes. Glory. Glory. Woo, glory. That's the truth. Because God's love is steadfast. It is solid. It is. I mean, his love was so, it was so, it was, I looked up the word, I meant, because I looked up steadfast. I looked it up. It said firmly loyal, constant, unwavering. And then it said it's fixed. It is unchanging. That's what his love is. And that's what he was trying to tell us in this story. He said, though you going back and forth, I'm still loving you the same. He kept coming back here. Every time that them names low, that them wasn't Hosea's kids.
Yes.
They wasn't even his kids. But he took them back in and loved them the same. Just like God takes us back in and loves us the same.
Yes.
He is an awesome God. His covenant with us is a covenant. He is not taking it back.
Mm.
He loves us that much. He said, you know, even though she was unfaithful, she was adulterer, she was all of those things. But God, and at one point God said, you know, he said, I think it was lower me, and he said, they're not my people. But then he turned around and called them sons.
Mm.
He's a loving God. Hosea, through that life, he showed his commitment to us. Through Jesus Christ's crucifixion, he showed his love for us. He said, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He gave it. He even after they've done all of this, he took us back in.
Mm.
And he does it over and over again, his mercy. Every morning he gives us a new mercy to work with.
Mm.
We ain't operating on yesterday's mercy. We operating on today's mercy.
You know where Elder Hosea stayed at the house. He was at the house. God is still at the same place where many of us have walked away. He's waiting
Woo!
On us. So we need to go back to where we put him on the shelf, or where we left him, or where we let somebody else take priority, or some other thing take priority. We need to go back and get off the throne and let him be where he wants to be, where he's always been. He's sitting that way. He is waiting with his arms still outstretched, saying, I still love you. I love you. Come unto me, all you, if you're burdened and heavy laden. I'll give you the rest you need. I'll comfort you. I'll give you a way through the COVID. I'll give you provision. I'll make a way out of no way. I will be your provider. I am your provider. Come on, I am here for you. And that's what he's saying to us. If we listen to, look at that story and listen to it, and if we get picked from it and then and apply it to our own lives, we could see a change taking place in our own hearts. And as it takes place in our heart, we'll see a domino effect as it's taking place in the world. And that's what we want. We want to get ourselves straight so then we can touch somebody else and help somebody else and help somebody else, so we can be in a place and be in a position for God to move mightily and show himself strong in these evil days that we're living in.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not, we're not preaching at you. We're preaching. We're all in this together. He wants all of us to come back to it. He wants all of us to recommit. We can get a little off. It ain't hard to get off. I'm telling you, distractions come every minute. There's a distraction. So you can get distracted real easy. You know, we got a lot of distractions nowadays. The news, you know, it's a whole bunch of stuff trying to distract us. I was sitting here before we got on today, and the news thing pops up, and they said now they're saying that the coronavirus is airborne, and the other time they said it wasn't, and then they said it was on metal, and then they said it wasn't, and then they said it was this, and they said, look here, we ain't got time, we can't trust them because they don't know.
Amen.
We got to listen, and we got to be wise.
Yes.
But we got to believe the report of the Lord.
Yes.
And we have got to bring ourselves back to God. And only we know that. You individually know what that means to you.
Yeah.
It might mean something different for me. It might be just something different for Elder Timberlake. But whatever that means to you, what is it? They used to sing, Search Me, Lord. And Search Me, Lord. That's a song. But there's a scripture that says, Sir, turn the spotlight of heaven on my soul. No, that's the scripture, that's the song. Turn it on me, Lord, and let me see. Let me see me.
So he's saying, Elder, don't take me for granted.
Yeah.
Don't take my love for granted. Don't take my love. And that's all of us. as all of us included, me and everybody else, and especially of our, those of us of the household of faith.
Yeah,
but we don't take his love for granted. That's what I hear. Don't take his love for granted, because he truly loves. And love loves you in spite of your mistakes, in spite of your errors. So he's given us grace. He's given us the grace we need to get everything up, to get back on track. So let's not be deceived by the enemy. Let's do what it takes to get back on track and then start doing what he's called us to do.
Yeah. And just because, you know, and so we trying to believe what, you know, just because the governors, you know, they the leadership, the government is doing what they know to do. That's what they're doing. So even though they're opening things up, that don't mean you got to jump out there. That's not what that means. Because we don't need to tempt God and then want to pray for healing. You know, I always say it's just like a diabetic want to sit up and eat a red velvet cake. I'll sit there and eat that all day and then expect their sugar not to go up. Right. We got to use wisdom.
Amen.
We got to use wisdom when it comes to staying committed to God. God loves us so much. And so he sent Jesus. Jesus is the bridegroom. We are the bride. Same thing. Jesus is our Savior. Hosea's name meant salvation.
Mm.
He was telling us. He's telling us. He loves us. Let's not take his love for granted.
Yes.
His marriage to us is committed.
Yes.
Read it for yourself. Go read Hosea. It's something. And I'm telling you, it's telling us that he did it for a purpose. And Hosea was humble enough to submit right away. He was willing to do it.
That's a word right there.
He said, prophet submits himself willingly to his Lord's direction. Are we willing to commit ourselves to God and let him love us and us love him back? Let him be our first love. Money can't save us. Houses can't save us. Jobs can't save us. All these folks can't save us. Trying to be like this person can't save us. None of that. Jesus is the only one that can save.
Amen.
God is the only one that will love us unconditionally. If you think about sometimes the love between a man and a woman, you know, men are visual, so if you ain't got this, and this, they like, mm-mm. Women are even like that. If you ain't got this, and this, then the man is like, you don't want that man. How many times have we done it? We think about that. But God loves us with all of it. He loves us thick. He loves us skinny. He loves us with hair, no hair, teeth, no teeth. He loves us, you know, all of that. So we got to turn away from the things that have caused us to be in idol worship.
That's a word right there, yes.
Even during this pandemic, what have you comforted yourself with? Bishop was talking about today how that the liquor stores can't even hardly keep alcohol in the store because there's so many people buying. But maybe your thing ain't alcohol. Maybe it's cookies. You know, whatever it is. I'm being serious. I know that sounds a little comical, but whatever it is.
Yes.
God has sent the Holy Spirit to comfort us. We have a comfort. That comfort ain't going to cause us to be drunk. That comfort ain't going to cause us to gain no weight. That comfort ain't going to cause us to be broke. He's our comforter. And he provides all that we need.
Yes.
Or I would turn, and anybody out there that you just said, I can't take it no more, turn to Jesus. Try Jesus. I'm telling you, he's worth it. I've been sitting here, but it's because of Jesus. I done broke down and cried. But this is an opportunity during this time to turn. You got to turn things around. It's an opportunity for us to get closer to God, to learn more about him. And all of that, that's what it is. Learn more about ourselves, our relationship with him. Like I said, you are the only one. Each of us individually has to look at this word and say, okay, God, what do I need? What do I need to do? How can I change? What can I do? How can I switch it around? What do I need to do more of? What do I need to do less of? And, Lord, where am I supposed to be in this kingdom process? What is the next move for me individually? What is it you want me to do for you? What breaks your heart that I can do, that I can be used to help? That's where we need to be. And if we, even like in our own individual churches, when you got online today, did you share with somebody? Did you share the gospel? You know, did we? Did we share the gospel? And I don't mean tweet during the service. I mean, did you actually say, so-and-so needs to hear the word. Let me send it to my family member because I know they ain't going to nobody's church today. Even this broadcast, will you share the gospel? The word of God is what's going to bless us. It says the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And so it can get in cut. I told him, I said, you might as well go on and surrender. Because every time they say type a name in, one of your loved ones, I get to typing it in. I said, you might as well go on and surrender. That's what I told him. It was sounding a little comical, but I told him that. I said, because I mean you're gonna know who God is, because I'm going to keep typing that name in. And the Lord gonna do it. We getting ready to go. We got about 6 minutes. But if there's anyone out there who just doesn't know the Lord and the pardon of your sins, and you didn't give your life to the Lord earlier today, here's another opportunity for you to give your life to the Lord. The Bible tells us, and I think it's Isaiah 1:18. It says, "Though your sins be let me read this passage because I said I was going to do that today." I should have had them marked, but I don't. But anyway, so just give me a minute to bring them all up. Here it is, 1:18, and it says, I want to read these scriptures because we got to know what God is saying. Oh, that's not good. What I said, 1:18. I'm real from the 10th chapter, 11, thinking that's it. But anyway, 1:18 tells us this. It gives us this word of encouragement. It says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And then if I go to 1 John 1:9, I know what it says, but let me read it so I can be clear. Oh, here it is. That's it. He said, that's the second, hold on. 1 John 1. One and nine says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That's what the Bible says. These are the promises God has made us if we give our heart to him. And then, of course, we know John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And then, of course, Romans is one of our favorite scriptures when we're talking about coming to Christ. Romans 10:9-10, and they say, let me just read out just some time. I just feel like reading them today. That's what I'm going to do. 10:9-10, and it says on this slide, okay, but it says that if thou shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God has raised him from the dead, believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and you believe today that Jesus is your Savior, if you would pray this prayer with me, I believe that you will be saved today if you sincere in your heart. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I am a sinner. I confess my sin. Forgive me of all unrighteousness. Forgive me of my sins. I believe that Jesus died for my sins, and I believe, Lord, that you have raised him from the dead. So with my heart, I believe unto righteousness. And with my mouth, I'm confessing. So, God, I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, to turn my life around and save me today. And Lord, with that, also fill me with the gift of the Holy Ghost, that I may be able to walk upright before you Lord, I thank you. Cleanse ours from secret faults. Keep our servants from presumptuous sins, that they will not have dominion over us. And, Lord, let the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in our sight. So, Lord, we ask you that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I believe if you prayed that prayer, some version of it, that God has saved you and welcome to the family. We thank you. We thank you, we thank you, and thank you for giving your life to the Lord today. And we thank you. So we are asking that, but so we're going to get ready to go. And I'm going to ask Elder Timberlake if she would pray us out. And we will see you back here next week on the Prosper Soul podcast. Elder Timberlake?
God, we thank you for what our ears have heard. We thank you for this opportunity to talk about you and just expound on your word and talk about your love. And, Lord, we thank you most of all for those that heard the word and their hearts were touched and convicted, and those that just given their lives to you. God, give them the strength to carry on. Encourage your people all over this land. Take us through this COVID-19, Lord. Keep us with a mind stayed on you. Keep our hearts encouraged, God. I pray for those that are going through bereavement right now, God, that you would touch their hearts and you would be the God of comfort. Comfort their mind and massage their hearts, oh God, and keep them, God, ever with a mind stayed on you. Let the peace of God that passeth all understanding will guard their hearts and mind. God, we pray, God, until we are able to meet again at this same time on next Sunday, that you would keep us all, keep your loving arms around us and protect us and shield us and meet every need according to your riches and glory. And we give you honor, we give you praise, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. And every one of you. Now, on third Thursday of this month, we're going to be doing single talk. And then, of course, on the fourth Saturday of this month, we will be in our prayer service. We'll do our hour of power of prayer, and so we'll be doing that this month. Those are two things that we're going to be doing. But anyway, God bless all, each and every one of you is our prayer. God, bye-bye.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Truly we give honor and thanks.